Let's see.
Okay.
In the world of politicking.
Oh, politics. Yeah. What'd they do yesterday?
Well, you know, we all had to get together and sing Kumbaya mm-hmm. and talk about how great of a country America is.
Yes,
although
because we all believe that.
Although sometimes many in politics act like they don't believe that.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
But, you know, that would make me bitter if I started buying into that. So President Obama did something yesterday that I heard this and I thought, I don't like this. I know nothing new necessarily, mm-hmm. but it was speaking. He was speaking yesterday. What they did was they had a naturalization ceremony at the White House for people who had served in the military. And I have said on this show before that if you are in this country illegally, but yet you serve in the military, or you come to this country seeking citizenship and you serve in the military, then you should go to the front of the line. And that should be an automatic qualifier mm-hmm. for citizenship mm-hmm. by serving in the military. Mm-hmm. And I have absolutely no problem with that whatsoever. But what he did was he took the opportunity. And by the way, these were people from Mexico, Ghana, the Philippines, Bolivia, Guatemala, and even Russia who had come to the United States, served in our military, who were becoming naturalized U.S. citizens. So hats off to them. But it was what the president said at the time. He said, quote, "You put on the uniform of a country that was not yet fully your own. In a time of war, some of you deployed into harm's way. You displayed the values that we celebrate every 4th of July, duty, responsibility, and patriotism. So far, so good." Continuing, quote, "Just as we remain a nation of laws, we have to remain a nation of immigrants. That's why, as another step forward, we're lifting the shadow of deportation from deserving young people who were brought to this country as children. It's why we still need a Dream Act." And he went on to refer to it as comprehensive immigration reform. Mm-hmm. I find it in poor taste
yeah.
on the 4th of July. I understand why he's doing it. It's an election year, but I just find it in extremely poor taste.
I'm with you on that. Yeah, yeah.
Just of all,
yeah.
of all things, uh-huh. so to say.
Well.
In case that doesn't stick in your craw enough. I got, got a couple other things for
Go
you.
Go ahead. Mess with my craw some more.
Yeah. Well, you may have to have it surgically removed before it's all said and done. So staying kind of along the immigration lines, is California possibly trying to become the anti-Arizona? Legislators there on the verge of approving a bill that would block local law enforcement from referring a detainee to immigration officials for deportation unless that person has been convicted, not accused or charged, but convicted of a violent or serious felony. California bill has the support of 100 immigrant rights groups, as you might imagine, and as well as some police chiefs and mayors. The current Secure Communities program, run between local law enforcement and immigration officials, has been responsible for deporting more than 72,000 illegal aliens from California. I find that a little frightening.
Yeah.
That you have to be convicted before you can be recommended for deportation. Because, you know what, there are people arrested right here in Brazos County that are arrested for crimes and put on hold for U.S. immigration because they are here illegally.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, good.
Yeah. Well, I guess the other side of the argument is innocent till proven guilty, right?
Of course. But if you're here illegally, that's uh-huh. pretty easily proven.
Right.
That doesn't
exactly.
have to be proved in a court of law.
You're right.
It has nothing to do with being, and as I said, it's if you're charged with a felony, you know, get them out of here mm-hmm. if they're charged with a felony. So. But so there's that. Hey, tinfoil hat stuff.
Oh yeah.
Well, you heard the talk about Yasser Arafat.
Yeah, they're gonna dig him up.
Well, I don't know if they're gonna do that.
Okay. I thought they were gonna dig him up.
Hey, are they? I mean, I
don't know.
I haven't heard that there's word that he might be exhumed. I would think from an Islamic standpoint that grave desecration, stuff like that, would start to come
yeah,
into play.
Start to get in somebody's craw.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
He's been dead 8 years. I did not realize he's been dead that long.
Yeah.
He's been dead since 2004.
Right.
But there's conjecture now that perhaps he was poisoned.
Right, and they want to find out.
Right, because what happened was, and of course this was from that bastion of solid news reporting, Al Jazeera. That reports because that's where I get all my news.
That's right.
You know,
sure.
6 o'clock rolls around. I watch Al Jazeera at 6 and for my friendly local weather forecast and all that good stuff.
Right.
They reported that recent tests on Yasser Arafat's personal belongings at the time of his death suggest his body contained abnormal levels of radioactive polonium.
Oh my God. He he glowed as he was being lowered. Yes. Yeah.
Polonium, by the way, was what was used to kill the Russian spy turned dissident Alexander Litvinenko. So there is word.
Litvinenko?
Litvinenko.
Huh.
You have to say it like that.
Scott would have said Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's Litvinenko.
Litvinenko. I'm sure he plays tennis.
Not anymore. He's dead.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, yeah. Pour one out for him. There's word that Arafat's body might be exhumed for further testing. We'll see. And Israel's going to get the first pointed finger at that, and then possibly even the Russians. So, but a poisoning by Israel would be the easier to explain. The easier explanation, obviously, because he was leader of the PLO. Experts say Russia might have pulled it off to get Arafat out of the way and allow Hamas to gain more influence in the area, which that's a little frightening because Hamas is an established terrorist organization. So,
well, we'll keep up with the news.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yaman Cronkite will tell us about it.
Hey, and one more thing, and we'll go back to the cross-digging. So how about Countrywide? You just thought they'd been out of business.
Yeah, I used to send a check to them every month.
Well, you know, they got bought out by BOA in 2008.
I know that. That's who I send my check to now.
Okay. Well, apparently, their subprime loans, of course, helped start a lot of the whole nation's foreclosure crisis.
Right.
Because they were giving loans to people who had no business having them.
Yeah, like me.
Yeah.
But somehow I've endured.
Somehow you've managed to make those checks.
Yeah, hadn't eaten much, but
well, really,
well, no, actually, I have. But
beans and rice, and rice and beans.
Dave
Ramsey would say. apparently, they've made hundreds of discount loans to buy influence with Congress, not just Congress, and we knew some of this, but apparently, this has grown. Not just members of Congress, but congressional staff, top government officials, and even executives at Fannie Mae. Report obtained by the Associated Press says discounts were handed out from January of 1996 to June 2008. I'm no math major, but that's about 12 and a half years by my count. They were not only aimed at gaining influence for the company, but to help Fannie Mae as well. Countrywide's business depended largely on Fannie, which at the time was trying to fend off more government regulation, but eventually had to come under control. All right, you ready for some names?
Yeah.
How about some names of people?
You mean the people who got these sweet deals?
Who got the sweet deals. How about Chris Dodd? First name on the list, former Senate Banking Committee Chairman. I think we knew that.
Yeah. Well, he's taking a lot of the blame for all of this stuff.
Well, he's out of a job because of it now, isn't he?
Right,
Let's see. How about Kent Conrad? He's chairman of the Budget Committee in the Senate. He's a Democrat from North Dakota. The communications director for former Republican Senator Robert Bennett of Utah. Republican Congressman Howard Buck McKeon. He chairs the House Armed Services Committee.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. Some other top staff members of the House Financial Services Committee. A staff member of Democrat Congressman Ruben Hinojosa of Texas. Former Republican Congressman Tom Campbell of California. How about former Housing and Urban Development Secretaries Alfonso Jackson and Henry Cisneros? Oh, and former HHS Secretary Donna Shalala. By the way, she's president of the University of Miami now.
How about that?
Oh, and by the way, the VIP unit at Countrywide processed Cisneros' loan after he joined the board at Fannie. Oh, it's so convenient. And then,
what were these loans for, like homes for their kids or grandkids or whoever they wanted?
They were loans.
They were just loans.
Loans is loans.
Loans is loans.
And then another name mentioned was Congressman Pete Sessions.
He'd be a Texan guy.
Yeah, well, he used to represent part of Brazos County. But actually, he told the VIP unit not to give him a discount, and he did not receive one. So there you are, and you can Google that. There's more information about Countrywide. Let us know how they helped us get into part of this financial pickle we're still trying to get out of.
Yeah.